Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I love Vision Sunday. I do, because it gets us all in agreement. It gets us all to a place where the Bible talks about how can anyone walk down the same road unless you be in agreement. You can't go down the same path. You can't go any direction in life unless you get in agreement. And here's what I love about today. Our church body here in Southwest Missouri, our church body in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and our church in Houston, Texas, all the Christian Ministries churches today are preaching a message that unites Christian Ministries and says this is where this church is being led to go for 2019. This is a great day. And I pray that today, by the time we're done with this, you will go, I have direction. I'm part of a church that has direction. I'm part of a group of people who has direction, and we're headed somewhere. And I'm grateful that I'm doing life with you all. I'm grateful. I couldn't be more thrilled. There's many in society that are going to church and doing life and very busy and doing a lot, but they fail to ask this question. What are they doing? They're doing what? What is it that they are doing? I think it's very important that you know what you're doing, because you're doing something. You need to know that what you're doing is going to take you somewhere, but you need to know where it's taking you. See, in 2005, our first full year as Christian Ministries here in Missouri, we started having a yearly vision. Our pastor, Tim Brooks, our lead pastor from Hot Springs, Arkansas, said that we need to know what is being instilled in us. His testimony is that he was tired of just coming to church and then leaving and not really knowing what was going to happen. I mean, as a preacher, you got to know Wednesdays and Sundays come around like that. They do. I mean, it's just, okay, now what am I going to preach? What am I going to preach? And you just, well, what do we do now? Well, you know, when you have a vision and direction, it's real easy to put something in there and say, here's where we're headed, so this is what we got to talk about. And so as you start thinking about it, well, that sounds good, but where's the Bible part of that? Well, here's the Bible part of that, Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, people perish. The reason why we have homes, we have kids, we have society, we have all these things perishing is because we don't know where we're going or what we're doing. Even though we're doing something, we don't have no vision. Where there's no vision, people perish. You got to have some vision. Come on, you got to have some vision in life. You got to have some vision for your family. You got to have some vision for your kids, parents. You got to have some vision for your finances. Oh, you just stay broke. You got to have some vision in life. And where there is no vision, things die. They perish. So we got to be a vision-minded people. We got to be that individually. We got to do it in our families. We've got to be vision-minded in our church. At the end of every year, we need to be able to look back and see what we have grown in. And if you're not mindful of where you're going, you will one day look at where you are and go, what happened? What happened? I'm looking at my life and I'm like, where am I at? I can tell you, you weren't vision-minded, because if you were vision-minded, you'd know right where you are. You know right where you are. We've at an all-time high. We've got people graduating high school, going to college, having no idea what they're going to do. You ought to have been thinking about that 3 or 4 years before you got into college. See, you need to be going somewhere. You got to be vision-minded. The reason why there's even a Christian Ministries church here in Southwest Missouri is because for years I went to church and I had a hard time hearing anything from the pulpit, from the teaching that was there, that really helped me in my daily life. Now, let me say, it did prepare me for heaven. That's what I heard every Sunday, how to get prepared for heaven. It taught me how to be ready if I was to die tonight. Come on, if you're to die tonight. Or that's what I heard every Sunday at the end of every sermon. That was what was talked about. And when I started hearing messages from Christian ministries in Hot Springs, Arkansas, I started realizing that the word that was being taught was really impacting my life, and it was making a difference in how I lived every day. And this was before Christian ministries was even here. So we went on a search, Michelle and I, all across the Springfield area, surrounding communities. I would talk to people. We started investigating families and lives and kids, and we were trying to find something that would make a difference every day, because I knew how to get to heaven. If I was to die tonight, I had accepted Jesus. I knew how to, but I needed to know how to handle being married, because she was ready to divorce me. I needed to know how to keep my wife. I needed to know how to raise kids in an environment that would produce. I needed to know how to live life here. See, I was looking forward to heaven, and heaven's a great place, and come on, we all want to go there. But I was really aware that I wasn't getting tools for my life that were relevant for daily living. And that's what I needed. And so one thing you can always know here at Christian Ministries, it was founded with the purpose of us continually doing our best job to tell about the Word of God in a way that can be applied daily to your life. The Bible is more than a history book. It's the real deal. And when you start applying the principles of the word to your life, it works in a lot of areas besides just how to get to heaven. Now, don't you take this message and say, he's not even talking. You got to talk about heaven. It's an important place. But what I'm telling you is you got to talk about right now. What are you going to do when you get up in the morning? What are you going to do this afternoon? The church is our only hope for what's going on in America. All right, let me just stop. It'll help me preach a lot better if I get just more than nods. I appreciate nods. But every once in a while I get, that's good, yep, wow. I mean, you go, well, I'm not used to that. Well, try it. Somebody might look at me, I know. And then they'll look right at you and they'll look right back up here and think, did I miss something? See, it'll help them. Affirmation's a good thing. And when you're preaching or teaching, I'll affirm you. So, deal? All right, here we go. I'm going to continue on now. The church is the only one that can and will teach, train, and instill a godly, biblical morality into the lives of people who live here. The heathen will never teach biblical morality. You need to know that. Only the church will teach a biblical morality, because we're watching in our world the Bible taken out of everything. So the only way to get a biblical morality is the church has got to step it up. We got to teach some things. One more thing to think about here in America that I want to give you. And as for clarification, I'm not talking about the church's four walls here. I'm talking about the church. The people who say, I'm a Christian and I'm a part of the body of Christ and I'm going to make a difference. So here's what you can know. We live in the United States of America in a free society. Are you glad about that? We don't have a dictator. Regardless of what you hear on the news, we do not have, and we're not living under a dictatorship. A free society only works if the society has some form working of a biblical morality. It's been proven by studying one different a set of values in a society, one society after another society. The only way it works to have a free society is have people who are self-governed, who in and of themselves live by a morality that's biblical. It's the only way it ever works. A free society teaches thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. And if those principles are not taught in our society, we can't hire enough police if the vast majority of the people who live in this society don't operate on those. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. I want those everywhere. But we're taking them out of everywhere except for the church. And if our society quits living by those, let me just tell you, you won't live in a free society anymore. Because the only way a free society works is based on biblical principles. Only the church is teaching biblical morality. So based on what we see, I want to ask a question this morning. Has the church been doing a good job? Not the four walls, not a denomination. I'm talking about, has God's people been doing a good job? Now you can just think about that, because that's a question you've got to ask yourself. Everyone here can clearly see, based on what's going on daily in our society, this culture is morally on a decline. Everybody go, I agree with that. You turn a TV on, since the 1960s, has there been a little change? TV commercials, what's being advertised? YouTube commercials. Let's just speak to a younger generation. Our music, full of things that don't line up with God's word. I mean, really, in our society, you hear in every restaurant, different places you go, I'm really overwhelmed at times when I walk into a place and I'm hearing Christian music. I'm like, yeah. Well, why is that important to me? Because when you don't hear Christian music, you don't hear biblical morality being sung. We've got to answer and put in motion, as followers of Jesus, a different thing than what the church has been producing. If we're going to look at it and just be honest, I mean, the question is, what is the church not doing? Or what does the church need to do that it's not been doing? What is the church not doing, and what does it need to do? I mean, we've got to answer that. Clearly, it's going to be up to the church to turn the moral decline around. No one else in our culture is going to do anything to stop this. Nobody is. The church is the only hope for a free society. Millions upon millions attend church regularly, yet the polls show that there's not much morally different between someone who goes to church and someone who doesn't. And I'm just telling you, that is the case. Just not much different. We have people going to church every Sunday, voting and supporting issues, or voting for people who support issues that God says in his word that he hates, that he detests, that he curses. That are under his wrath. We've got a problem. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. The church has taught this and taught this and taught this. It's been called the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. End of the age. In this passage, we've used it for generations here in America as an evangelistic outreach. Everybody go, well, yeah, that's true. And the church has preached it every Sunday as a salvation message. And let me say, the church has done an amazing job. Amazing job of seeing people saved. We as a church nationwide have promoted evangelism and crusades, and we've seen thousands converted. Thousands converted. Right now, in the world, not just in the United States, in the world, 32% of the world claims Christianity. That's a big number. 21% of the world claims to be Muslim, 14% of the world claims to be Hindu, and 6% of the world claims to be Buddhist. This is amazing. Here's what's even more amazing. In America, depending on which poll you use, you can find polls that will show anywhere from 72% to 80% in America claim Christianity. So worldwide, 32%, but here in America, 72 to 80. Now, I averaged the polls, so we could just not say 72 to 80. 76% say here in the United States of America that they are a Christian. That's awesome. I mean, it really is. I'm not. The church has done wonderful converting people to Christianity. And you would think, since that we have done that, that we would not see the moral decline that we're seeing. I mean, when we go to the voting booth, we should see Christianity being furthered after every election. As we're voting on morality now at the poll booth, we vote on it all the time, morality issues, we should see them win every time if 76% are Christians. What have we missed? 76% polled say they are Christians. Something is wrong. Matthew 28:19 says to make disciples, not converts. Here's what we've done. We've made a lot of converts, and we've got 76% of the nation saying they're Christian, but very few of those have a biblical morality that they're operating on in life. A Christian is commanded to be a disciple. A Christian is commanded to make a disciple. 2018, last year, our theme out of 1 Peter 1 says, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy." This past year, we've been talking about being a holy generation. And it was imperative for where we were because we needed holiness to get back in God's people. They needed to be sincere about living a life of holiness. And so that's what we've been talking about this last year. Our vision this year is moving in a new direction. And this new direction is this: for our society, for our center, we've got to be making disciples. That's what we've got to be doing this year. We've got to be making disciples. That's our vision for 2019, is making disciples. First, making sure that we ourselves are a disciple. And second, that we're discipling others. This is where we've missed it. We're making converts, and the converts are stopping right there and doing nothing else. We've converted people to Christianity, but we haven't taken the step and discipled them. And then they're not taking a step in discipling anyone. And we've got a moral decline in our society with 76% of the United States saying that they're Christians. Are you hearing this today? Our vision this year, making disciples, is very, very important. I taught something in 2018 that really had me thinking about some things for 2019. I did a series last year on perfection. And then I put right after that correction. Perfection comes through correction. And I did a whole series on that. In the middle of that, I spent from April through July last year doing that. And there was a part in the middle of that series that I broke down the word disciple. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but that was something that I was really stuck on for a little while. Disciple. What does it mean to be a disciple? And in the middle of that series, I said these words: we could talk about this all year. And we're going to. All of 2019, we're going to talk about disciple. What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to be a disciple? And it's just important. If we understand what it means to be a disciple, we as a church, not four walls, not just the pastor, we as a church will be taking God's commission and being serious about it, and we will then be making disciples. Matthew 28, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth." Do you realize that Jesus was given all authority in heaven and in earth? And because he was, you can see therefore and say because of that, we, because he was given all authority in heaven and earth, because of that, he can give us a command and we can adhere to it. We can say, we'll do that. Because of that, you go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them. Go make disciples. Baptize them. Baptize. Teach them what it means to die to the old life and to be raised to new life in Christ. See, there's got to be a seriousness about when you break down disciple, you got to know some things about disciple. If you're going to make a disciple, you got to know what a disciple is. And a disciple is not just a convert. A disciple is way bigger than just someone who says, "I check Christianity." It's just way bigger than that. The word disciple comes into the English language by way of Latin. In a translation, there's a Latin word, discipulus. It means a learner, but given its biblical background, it can't be confused with the English word student. And a lot of people just look at disciple in Christianity. They look at the word disciple as just a student of the Bible. There's a lot of students of the Bible who don't claim Christianity or who don't live a biblical morality. There's a lot of students that, so it's not just a student. You have, it's deeper than student. It's deeper than pupil. Although that is it, it's just deeper than that. It's more than that. It's actually following a person in every aspect of their life, becoming like them. The reason Christians are called Christians was because at Antioch, they were looked at as being little Christ. They saw them be just like Jesus. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, what you are saying from a biblical perspective is you're saying, I look like Jesus. You might think before you check Christianity next time, am I looking like Jesus here? Am I really a little Christ? Do people to see my life, do they see me as a little Christ? When you look up this word in the Latin dictionary, it says student, pupil, disciple. In the world of the Bible, in the world of people that understand the Bible, a disciple was a person who followed a teacher, a rabbi, a master, a philosopher, and they wanted to be just like him. See, that's what disciple meant when this was written. It's someone who is following a teacher, a rabbi, a master. Verse 19, because Jesus is who he says he is, and he has all authority in heaven and on earth, that's who he is. You have to understand that if you're going to be a disciple, you have to know a lot about Jesus. And people start talking about Jesus and they think that, well, he's all love. Yes, he is. But do you ever talk about when he cleared the temple with a bullwhip? So is that love? Yeah, it was love, but it was a love that we don't in our society register as love. That, I mean, there was some things that happened in Scripture that Jesus said, you brood of vipers! Really? But he's, see, there, we don't understand who Jesus is, therefore we can't really imitate him. Because until you really get a hold of who Jesus is, it's a hard thing to imitate somebody who you don't know. If you're going to imitate someone you know, you got to look like him, you got to be like him, you got. BJ, will you just stand up for a second with your son? Just come up here and just stand right here. And hold him up. This is where everybody can see him. All right, you can sit down. Good looking men right there, aren't they? Yeah. Do you see someone following somebody's example? You say, well, he didn't have his choice. His mom addressed him. You just watch him over the next few years. I just saw them this morning. I thought, right there is a great example of what I'm talking about. The same pants. I don't know how you grow hair like that. I'd like to. That's cool. He's missing some facial hair, but give that some time. The Bible says that we are to go and make followers. You say, well, that Jonathan didn't have a choice there. All I can tell you is his parents are doing a great job of saying, here's how you're going to act. Here's what you're going to wear. Here's how you're going to operate. Here's what you're, see, are we doing that in our life? Are we doing that with the next generation? Are we doing that with our kids? Or we just got saved and it stops here. And that's what happened in America. is we've got a lot of people saved, and it just stopped right there. It says, go make followers, baptizing. Baptizing means getting rid of the old and being raised a new life. Teach them to follow, teach them to follow. Teach them to wear the same pants. Teach them to wear, come on, teach their life to look like their, when a man walks in and looks just like another man, they're like, you got good tasting clothes, man. When a woman walks in and somebody else is wearing, they're like, oh. I'm not just talking about clothes, okay? I'm just, do you look like Jesus in your nature? Are we doing a good job here? And I look at the world and I say, no. Well, I don't think, we're not doing a good job of teaching ones to follow, to be just like. A disciple, when they're just a student, then they can have a knowledge. A student can have knowledge of something they care nothing about. A disciple can't. You cannot just be a student of the word. You can't just be a student of Jesus. You've got to be a committed follower. The students who just want to know is not what I'm talking about. It's the students who want to be. It's more than I just want to know. I want to be. It's the ones who've surrendered their whole life. A disciple, I like this definition. One who accepts, lives, and assists in spreading the doctrine of another. I'm doing this because I've accepted it. I'm living it. It's who I am. And I'm going to tell everybody I can. At the time of Jesus, this word in the Greek would be best described as a follower and adherent of the philosophies of a wise teacher. I like that because we have weakened the word discipleship in the Christian realm. A disciple is way bigger than just going to church four walls on a Sunday. It's being the church every day of your life. And not just being a disciple of the church in the sense of we stop there, but being a disciple who makes disciples. We got to be making disciples. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, if any of you, this is Jesus talking, if anyone wants to be my follower, if anybody wants to step in and do what I'm doing, my follower, following what I'm doing, you got to give up your own way, take up your Christ daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Church, three things today that I just want to give you, three steps that we're going to be talking about all year. First step, being a disciple of Christ, the first step is someone who has been called is a disciple. Someone who has been called to know Christ and accept his free gift of salvation. I know that I'm saved. Come on, can I get just some testimony? I know that I'm saved today. I know that I'm saved. I know Jesus. If you are here today and you couldn't raise your hand, or you say, I'm just not raising my hand, or a bunch of people, I get that. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, don't leave this building today without coming to talk to me. I'll introduce you to him. It's the most phenomenal experience. The first, you gotta be at a place, if you're gonna be a disciple, where you've accepted what Jesus did on the cross. It's important, imperative. It's accepting Christ. It's salvation. It's wonderful. Disciples, this morning I want to ask you a question. Have you ever led someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus? Whew, I don't really want to answer that. Don't be beating yourself up. We've got a new vision. 2019, I'm going to share my faith with somebody. I'm going to talk about it. I may talk about it on Facebook of, you need to know Jesus. I may talk about it to my friends at work. I may talk about it around a conference table, but for sure I'm going to be talking about it in my home. My spouse is going to know that I'm a Christian. And then I'm saying, see, the first thing that you're going to be a disciple, you got to know that you are a sinful person by nature and that you can't work your way to God, and that because of what Jesus did on the cross, he lived the perfect life and his sacrifice paved the way for you to get to God. You can be saved. Romans 10:9, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. You will have salvation. You will understand that none is righteous, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory. See, the Bible starts coming to life and yes, I'm saved. What does that mean? That means you get to go to heaven, but that's not where we're stopping. That's the first step. Here's the second step. The second step is you start learning all about Jesus. You start learning who he was, what he did. That's what we've been talking about all year. You're an adherent of his ways. You're going to really know Christ. You're going to start becoming like him, thinking like him, feeling like him, living as he commanded. And the third thing is you'll see yourself start discipling others. This is where the church has missed it. They may have studied a little bit about Jesus, but we're doing a horrible job of discipling others. Young people, I love it when I hear a youth or someone young has led someone to Christ. One of the greatest things that ever happened in our life was our kids were downstairs and they ran upstairs and they said that their friend had just got saved, that they had just led him to the Lord. And I was like, yes, because we've been teaching, we've been talking to, we've been trying to... And they had downstairs, they had in their time said, you need to be a Christian. You need to know who Jesus is. Are we teaching this to our kids? Are our kids sold out to telling others about Jesus? Or are they going to school embarrassed to say his name? We got work to do. When we start seeing others, not in a realm of, I'm better than them because I was in church on Sunday. But we start seeing them as someone who we can pour into and love and encourage and do what we can. So we start making disciples. The Great Commission is great. And it's all pointing to Christ. It's not pointing to us, it's pointing to Christ. But it can't stop with you just getting saved. You've got to learn about Jesus and become a devout follower. And then you've got to get others to be devout followers. And if everybody in this church will do this, we'll be in another building program pretty quick. We'll be in another position pretty quick. Why? Not because there's a lot of people that need to be discipled. There's a lot of young people that need to be discipled. There's a lot of middle-aged people that need to be. The church... From 17 to 35, that's our smallest group of people going to church. I'm going to be talking more about that over the next few weeks. Why is that? Because we haven't got young people before the age of 18 sold out to being a disciple. And the last thing they're going to do is make other disciples. We got work to do. We got work to do. Christian Ministry Church, we got work to do. 2019, we're going to be making disciples. We're going to be making disciples. I want to end with this year. I wrote this just because I think this is pretty cool. It says, we will be making followers who are guided by a wise teacher, and we will then spread that teacher's beliefs and make disciples who are guided by a wise teacher who will then spread that teacher's beliefs, and then we'll make disciples who are guided by a wise teacher who will then spread that teacher's belief, and they'll make disciples who are guided by a wise teacher who will then spread that teacher's belief who will then make disciples. That sentence never ends. It just keeps going and keeps going. And this year, our vision at Christian Ministries Church, come on, is making disciples.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.